The Ramen Noodle is sponsored by Ruffled Feathers Rising. Have you ever wished that you were that bird that seems to always know when you have just washed your car, which makes it a prime target for being crapped on? As fun as it seems, me neither. But in case you do have those days of daydreams of dive bombing people as a bird, you can now live those dreams in Ruffled Feathers Rising. Released a few days ago onto the Android market, Ruffled has you control a bird with the sole purpose of pooping on innocent people walking down the street.
I love poo!
To work, home, the store, or wherever they feel the need to be walking. Sounds great, doesn't it? Visit pixelloopgames.com. Not really a sponsor, but unfortunately, really is a game. It's time for the Ramen Noodle, episode 77.
Nobody can blame ya. There's only one life worth living. They may try and shame ya, 'cause it cracks them up to see an amateur like you. But you gotta be your own kind of noodle. Add your own seasoning. Be your own kind of noodle, even if nobody else laughs along.
Welcome to another episode of the Ramen Noodle Clean Comedy Podcast, seasoning packets of clean comedy to flavor your day. I'm your host, Daniel J. Lewis, also known as the Ramen Noodle, the guy with food in his mouth making noisy cafeteria noises in the background of these noises, is the regular co-host, Jeremy Laughlin.
Hi.
Hi. Don't talk with food in your mouth, but close your mouth when you talk or when you chew. Either of those are good. And also joining us in studio is the most beautiful co-host I could ever have in the entire world. My beautiful, lovely wife, Jenny.
Hello.
Hello. I love you.
Should I give you two a moment? Yeah,
no, I don't love you, Jeremy. Well, not in that same way. I don't love you.
Huh.
Yeah. Seriously.
It's only because he doesn't have many lady co-hosts that he can call me the most beautiful.
Whatever.
And far more beautiful than Jeremy. I think we can all agree
with on good
that.
Reason.
I'm not a lady co-host. I'm not sure you're aware, but you know, I'd like to warn everyone, as I am wont to do at times, I'm really tired tonight. That just makes me unpredictable, and you'll probably like it, but you still need to be warned. For example, I probably should throw Daniel on the floor and elbow him or something for that sponsor. Why did you allow that company to sponsor the show?
Well, they're not really
company with air quotes.
Not really a sponsor, but it is a real game that was recently released for Android. And I will have a link to this in the show notes at cleancomedypodcast.com/77. And
I don't think it's clean.
It's clean crap that you're pooping
on
people.
No. Okay, yeah, I'm very, very sorry that I brought it up.
But you know, thank you. I do have
I'm being supplied with Nerf darts to throw.
I do have an appropriate sound clip for this from my own wife.
Oh, look, poo. Did I actually say that? Oh, look, poo. That's my voice. Holy cow. Oh, look, poo. Stop playing that.
When did that happen?
That was a few episodes ago from the episode when we had John Steinklobber, who also added that wisdom.
I love poo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you can go back a few episodes to hear that when we had John Steinklobber from Nobody's Listening on the podcast.
But we promise this isn't the potty cast.
Yes. But it is a good podcast to listen to when
when you're driving down the road, when you're trying to go to sleep, when you're waking up in the morning before the kids even make a peep. I'm done.
Oh, this was sounding like a great poem. Where's your Sonify app so we can sonify that? If you are listening to this podcast for the first time, welcome. And if you're listening to this podcast for the whatever time, then also welcome. And whoever you are and however you're listening to this podcast, please make sure that you are subscribed so that you will automatically receive the craziness that we release every week. So go to cleancomedypodcast.com and click the appropriate subscribe button there. And in fact, just whatever button you see on that page, go ahead and click it, and it helps us out. The plus one, you can press all of our buttons and it's great. The plus one, the tweet button, the like button, and all of that. Just don't press the like button twice, because then that's like liking us and unliking us.
And don't press the plus one button twice, because that's like plus one-ing us and then unplus one-ing us.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even know what that means anymore.
But you're welcome to press the tweet button as many times as you want.
Yes.
Yeah. Spam your friends.
.com.
Spam your wife. Spam your kids. Because they're spamming everybody out here.
Wow. That is so not... anyway, moving on.
Well, speaking of moving on. Funny stuff that's happened within the last week. Now, I have a bunch of stuff to share, but the stuff that I have to share is long enough to be an actual featured story, so I'm going to save it for later.
You are?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. So,
Jeremy, what kind of a tease is that?
That's a tease for all of the people who are going to listen to the full episode anyway, to listen to the full episode.
Right. Yeah.
So, Jeremy, what has happened with you lately?
Well,
as you breathe loudly into the microphone.
I've breathed loudly into microphones. I felt like it was a pretty unfunny week, but something has occurred to me. What our audience may or may not know is that I'm self-employed. What even people who do know me may or may not know is that I haven't been making any money. And so,
which is kind of important.
It is kind of important. And I thought that was hilarious and I'd share it. No. So I have taken a part-time job in a restaurant, which has been actually quite enjoyable for the most part. But there was this one moment. I believe it was last Thursday morning.
Was it your moment? Your moment?
It was my moment.
Oh, my.
My moment. So, first breakfast shift I had worked. 7:30 a.m. Waking up in the morning. I had just clocked in. And I needed to refill the ice cream machine. And this stuff, this pre-made ice cream mix, whatever it is, comes in these plastic pouches. And you have to shake them up and cut off the corner and pour them into the machine, which is pretty close to being level with my head. So I'm kind of putting my arms over my head to do it. I've done it many times quite successfully. You have to do pouch after pouch. So I do the first one or two, and I think about the third one. I cut off the corner, and it slips out of my hand onto a counter. And that, of course, forces the mix up and out the corner that I cut off. And it sprays the side of the machine, it sprays the floor, and it sprays me. Now, my shirt is made very well, so this stuff all just kind of comes off. It just rolls off. But the pants, oh my goodness. I had this stuff splashed all over the front of my pants, all down the legs.
It wasn't chocolate, was it?
No.
Okay, good.
And it was on the front.
That would be really bad.
But, yeah, it definitely stained, and I think I even said out loud, I was like, beginning of an 8-hour day, why not? Why not douse myself in ice cream mix at the beginning of an 8-hour shift and walk around that way the rest of the day, which I did.
You just tell them, I'm preparing. I'm supposed to be the mascot for tomorrow, but I'm supposed to wear this today and then take a milk bath tonight. And when I come tomorrow, I'll be a milkshake.
That's not
dessert
funny.
Cricket. Dessert cricket. In a similar vein, and no, this has nothing to do with blood, we have to refill iced tea and lemonade.
With blood.
With blood. No.
The vampire restaurant.
But for some reason, they're in these plastic containers of varying sizes, and that I definitely do have to hold over my head to pour into the container. And the first time I did the iced tea, it definitely ran down my arm into my armpit.
Oh.
So these are my experiences in wearing the various food and beverages that I am serving.
It's all part of the experience.
It is. I definitely feel like an amateur at this time, as I'm quite new. Getting better, though.
So are you suggesting that people not get milkshakes or lemonade from you?
Oh, no, I don't suggest that at all.
You've tried it. You've tried it so much, you've worn it.
Exactly. Oh, I love this stuff. I eat it all the time. I even bathe in it. I get to work and I splash it on myself so that...
Rub it right into your eyes.
Really, it's not deadly at all.
I splash about in the stuff just so that I can advertise it. So that I can enjoy its essence throughout the day.
Oh, my.
I'm having pictures in my mind. of what those commercials might be like.
Oh, shut up. Ew, what are you? Ew.
Throw a dart here. Just throw a dart.
Thank you. There we go. It kind of grazed his shoulder.
Now, Jenny, what do you have to share with us from the last week?
Well, on Saturday we had a pool party and we played a very fierce game of Marco Polo, and I almost won had I not been forced to cheat.
Cheat.
I cheated. Oh, if I hadn't cheated, I would have won. I'm pretty sure.
The cheaters never prosper.
So what happened?
It's true. Well, I think Daniel should tell us.
Let
story.
Me illustrate how we were playing Marco Polo, and then Jenny can illustrate how she was playing Marco Polo. So it goes like this.
I was playing fine.
We're in the pool, and someone yells, Marco! And another person yells, Polo! And then Jenny yells,
Polo.
Says, yeah.
Because I was the only girl in the pool, so they would have found me had I said it, you know, like, Polo!
Like said it audibly.
Yeah. So I did my best to be low and quiet.
That's awesome.
And we all start hanging out around her, like just yelling, Polo, 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 over here, Polo. Trying to get her out.
Oh. It didn't work. I was very fast.
It was only near the end on a technicality that we were able to get her.
Yeah. I didn't know all the rules, so I didn't know when the Marco people yelled fish out of fish out of water. I didn't know that the first person that got out had to become it.
I guess I don't actually know how to play. As I listen to you speak about it, I don't know how to play.
This version that we played was kind of like a mixture of sardines and Marco Polo.
You put sardines in your pool?
Yeah, live ones. Yeah, for later.
It does go great for the coronation.
Is that why you've been putting this metal cover over your pool and then rolling it back with a pin? They are sardines, right? That's not a euphemism for past house guests. Packed in water under the metal cover on the pool.
Well, I'm not saying, but, you know.
But I'm not saying either.
Yeah.
So I lost Marco Polo.
Aw, where did he go?
Around the world.
He's still in the pool. I lost him in the pool.
Well, let me tell you about this game that we played on these pieces of paper.
No way.
What happened?
Oh boy, this is going to be good, I can tell.
I've referred to this game before, but I can't remember if it was actually this game or one that was similar to it. The way that this game works is that every person writes a sentence on a piece of paper and passes the paper then to their left. The next person writes a sentence and hides, writes the next sentence and hides the sentence that came before them. Mm-hmm. So every person only sees one sentence above them.
My favorite game.
And they add to the story. So there's no drawing involved. It's only writing.
Your name was mentioned a few times during this game.
Yes, many times.
That's scary.
And so I'm going to read, or we are going to read, some of these to you as you can enjoy these stories. And this is a great group game, especially if you're on a sugar high and it's late at night.
Or if you have a laughing headache.
Which
a couple of our party members had during this game.
Alice followed the small white rabbit into its hole and suddenly felt herself falling. She fell past chairs and lamps and shelves up of neatly stacked books. When she slammed into the ground, books fell out of alphabetical order, which upset Grandpa more than her shelf death. But Grandma told Grandpa to get over it. They had to get used to the fact that their grandson wanted to join Starfleet. The problem was that the grandparents were afraid of the "don't ask, don't tell" policy being reworked. If the policy was revoked, that's what it says. If the policy was revoked, then their grandson would get in a lot of serious trouble. Unfortunately. Unfortunately, they know about their grandson's other devious deeds and would not let him off the hook so easily. "Oh, no, 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 young man," Grandma said to him in her shaky grandma voice. "You're not getting off it that easily." She waggled her finger, her wrinkly finger at him.
Her wrinkly finger.
He knew the consequences would be severe, so he put on his boots, grabbed a shovel, and began cleaning up the pink fluffy unicorn poop from off the rainbow.
Let me guess, you wrote that sentence?
I might have. But then Yoda killed the unicorn. But the doctor brought it back to life. So the unicorn killed Yoda. And the doctor, to ensure an end to the plan. But Yoda, offered his body.
Something.
And something, the unicorn, before he died and made his way into the final battle.
Somebody has bad writing.
But he's an artist. But when he showed up at the final battle in his unicorn body, one of the Jedi mistook him for a deer and shot him for dinner.
Shot
him for dinner.
Not for dead.
For dinner.
Gotcha.
Jeremy.
What?
How about you read one?
Why do I have to?
Because you haven't read one before.
It will be funny.
Excuse me.
Oh, man, I had that one perfect.
Thanks for that. That was really fast. Just had that one waiting. All right. In what voice should I read this?
In whatever voice you so choose.
I'll read it in mine.
How about Homestar Runner?
I think there might be a clash of the humors or something. You never know. Some lines may come out that way. Once upon a time, a fair maiden invented YouTube to distract her enemies. That's unlikely. They had so much fun with said invention, they forgot they were to kill said inventor. Who are they anyway? You know what they always say? Eventually, they took the device to the holodeck to see how well it killed Klingons. Jared was at this party.
Yes, he was. Mosshead Jared. I mean, curly-haired Jared.
Wow. They then took their captured Klingons and decided to...
That's the artist handwriting, too.
I'm just going to read it the way it looks at first glance. Decided... Okay. To run their lets, and see how well he could.
Tests. Run their tests.
See how well he could
Endure.
I didn't write
endure
it, by the way.
Pain. This is getting sad. He screamed in agony, and Doctor Who came to the rescue, as he does. Suddenly, the TARDIS materialized in front of him, and he made his way onto it for safety. But alas, it was only an ordinary telephone booth. The TARDIS does not look like a telephone booth, I'd just like everyone to know. So he jumped inside and changed quickly into his Superman outfit. Flew out and saved the day. Klingon Superman. This is amazing. But everyone knows that days have no souls and can't be saved. So everyone threw their pink fluffy unicorns at Superman. Uh-huh. So Superman and his friend known as the Doctor rode the pink fluffy unicorns. Okay. The unicorns, however, were loaded with smart bombs. Much to the surprise of their passengers. That would surprise me. The bombs had... Oh, this person wrote another sentence. the bombs had tiny something spikes that pierced their rider... This is terrible! We can't read this on this podcast! Pierced their riders and something...
The artist was in a morbid mood this night.
Except for the caterpillars nearby that were caught in the radiation. There was radiation, apparently. But one unicorn survived and joined up with the mutant caterpillars to turn on their enemies. The mutant caterpillars had a great plan to destroy the evil unicorn killers... by using the one surviving unicorn as bait in a trap. Wait, that's the end? Oh, no, there's one more line. But their plans failed. The end. I don't like that story. I'm not publishing it.
Now,
rejected!
Now Jenny's going to read one.
Here we go. Dracula's teeth got stuck in the fat lady's neck, so he decided to go to the dentist. But when he got there, he discovered they didn't accept his insurance, so he sucked their blood, too. Then he went home and cried to his mother. Wesley Crusher was obviously a mama's boy, and everyone knew it. And
true
hated
story.
Seeing his constant favoritism on the ship. So they decided to take Wesley and tie him to the holodeck with only his underwear and beam him to the surface. He was a bit embarrassed to be seen in only his underwear, because the plant was inhabited by 50 fair virgins.
What the? What kind of a podcast are you running here?
As the 50 fair virgins approached him.
That just means girls who haven't dated anyone before.
Okay, that is an entirely different podcast.
Let's not explain anything. Moving on. He frantically ran behind some trees looking for his other clothing. But the virgins were actually spies that were trying to capture him and take him downtown. He had to act quickly if he wanted to escape. So he threw chocolate and diamonds on the ground to distract them while he rode away on a pink fluffy unicorn. But then a police call box came out of nowhere and stopped him and his unicorn. The unicorn sadly had to use one of his special smart bombs on the policeman, but the policeman had smart bomb deflective Kevlar and killed the attacker, but also a nearby child. The mother of the dead child sued the police department for negligence. And that's the end.
That's really horrible. These are actually funnier if you know the people who wrote the sentences and you were... party to the thing.
Yeah.
How about this one?
Kind of like Mad Libs.
The captain ordered the away team to beam back to the ship immediately because they had detected something dangerous on the planet. But Scotty couldn't work the machine, so the team couldn't be beamed back and had to face the dangerous Martians all alone. Captain Kirk asked for Bones to save him, but Bones said, "Doctor... dang it, Jim. I'm a doctor, not a hero." Bones helplessly watched as Captain Kirk slowly died in front of him. If only there was something he could do. So he decided to try doing CPR. He had never kissed a girl before, so he was excited to be almost there, except with a dying girl.
Oh, my goodness.
Then Yoda and the doctor came and got said dude to his bonnie lass and saved said dying lass for said dude. Grandpa, you talk funny and say said a lot. My teacher told me not to do that, said Peter's granddaughter. Oh, what a smart young girl you are, said I, mean stated. Grandpa.
What?
Wait.
That didn't really make any sense.
None of it made any sense.
Grandpa, as he made his way to the bathroom for the 13th time this morning.
Poor Grandpa, don't talk about that.
On the way to the bathroom, Grandpa tripped and fell down, and he pushed his life alert button. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Sadly, no one was around to hear Grandpa's alert for help, and it was several hours later before anyone found him. So while he was waiting, he played a round or two of Angry Birds and actually did quite well. Then he discovered the game where he could fling cow poo at floating pink fluffy unicorns. But the unicorns died of starvation first. The end.
Can you guess who added all those annoying pink fluffy unicorns?
Could it begin with a the?
It could, actually.
With a lowercase t?
No more. These stories aren't funny. Wait.
There might be one other here. No. His hard-to-read handwriting is too long, so...
You should tell them about the picture game we played.
Yeah, there was a picture game we played.
The end. The end.
Oh, man.
But here's what I want to do.
Uh-oh.
Is we're going to have a little live experiment here on the podcast. And I'll explain the rules. Pause so that this can go on and then come back and share the results. So here's what we're going to do. Everyone who's in the chat room, which we normally do this live every Monday night. Right now it's Tuesday night, though. But normally every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time at noodle.mx/live. What we're going to do is in the chat room, go through alphabetically and have each of you write a sentence to continue a story. And then we will read this story back. So this will be live participation. Well, yeah, somewhat live participation from our audience, and you'll get to hear it here in the podcast. So we'll go through this alphabetically.
Oh, I'm going to refresh.
We got this now from the chat room.
And I got like this.
We
got this.
Did it just like we said we would. And now we have a little story to share with you. And so we're each going to read a sentence that came from someone else in the chat room.
Or possibly ourselves.
Yeah, and ourselves. So it starts out. One day, Jeremy was walking down the street.
But this was a little street that hardly had room for someone of such stature.
So he had to take all the bacon out of his pockets.
The bacon was old. He ate it and immediately turned into a zombie and went about biting people.
I guess his dreams of making it to the ice cream baths would not be realized.
He turned a corner, saw a pea shooter, and ran away screaming.
Just around that corner, he found some freshly cooked good bacon, and eating it turned him back into the fine young man he had been that morning.
Ooh.
Sorry.
He stuffed more bacon into his pockets and walked away.
Awesome story.
The end.
And now we know why he had all that bacon in his pockets in the first. I mean, I had the bacon. Yeah. I do keep bacon in my pockets, and now you know why.
You know what? Maybe this would be fun. Ian in the chat room, Haras and I. Cross.
Nay.
Cross
nay.
I got the first
like a horse.
Right.
Nay.
Ian, or cross nay, suggested that we do this in every episode, and we might do it. So we want to hear your feedback on, do you think we should do stuff like this again? And if you think so, then show up to the live chat room.
Show up.
I say that in love. And so you can join us on noodle.mx/live Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Right now in the chat room, we've got Angel Girl 621. I don't have good contacts in right now, so I might misread this. We've got Hrosne. We've got Jenny Bug, JJ Lestrand, Nevrothren, also known as Winnie, Flegon, and a couple of anonymouses in there. And
anonymous I.
Maybe you next time. So check it out, noodle.mx/live, Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern time, and then whatever time that is in your time zone. You look it up. We're not going to look it up for you.
You look it up.
And we might do this again if there are enough requests for it next time. Now, we did get some feedback.
Ring, ring, hello? Ring, ring, hello? Ring, ring, hello? Ring, ring, hello? Ring, ring.
You have a bad connection.
This is actually not so much a feed. Well, it's something that someone sent to us. This is from Ian. He said, I know how much you guys love Portal. I just found this and thought to share it with you. Now, this is a video that's from Vimeo. It's not on YouTube, but I will have this video embedded in the show notes at theramenoodle.com/77 or cleancomedypodcast.com/77. This video is made entirely from sounds in Portal 2 trailers, except for the drums added to this.
I was
going to
say it was made entirely from chocolate or Legos.
And diamonds.
That would be awesome.
And diamonds, yes. I should keep chocolate and diamonds in my pockets along with the bacon, just in case.
Chocolate-covered, diamond-sprinkled bacon.
No, that would break your teeth.
Yep.
Licky. It's Portal.
This makes me think of
enlighten us.
Portal 2. No, besides that, it really needs the Sonify people like Shmo Yoho from YouTube to take this and actually make a song out of some of the dialogue that happens in Portal. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Maybe we should do it.
Yeah.
Fact. Good enough for science. Is good enough for science. Robots, fact. Good enough for science. Dave Johnson, fact. This is good enough for science.
This will have you humming from now on. Good enough for science. Fact. Good enough for science. Boom. Fact. Good enough for science.
Ceiling and a floor.
Well, I'm not going to let the whole thing play, but you can check that out, and the link and the video will be in the show notes at cleancomedypodcast.com/73. Now, we got something else, though, and this is a little bit spoilery for people who have not seen Lost yet.
So don't listen.
Oh, great.
So here's what
blah, 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 blah.
Jenny's going to be doing that so that nobody can hear us, including herself.
This
Should
came,
I leave?
This came from... You might want to just pull your headphones off.
Wait, you're still talking.
We still have voices that are in the room with her.
This came...
Oh, you're just going to play video.
Yeah. This came from our friend Eric Fisher of previous co-hosting fame and all of that stuff and WBR and lots of things that he's done with us. Now, I will say that the video itself has some mild foul language, which I've edited out for our enjoyment here.
But he pulled out the foul language and put it into its own special mix for our enjoyment here.
Yikes. Fact. Good enough for science. No. But so what I'm going to do is here in the studio, we're going to get to watch this video, but you're going to hear sound from the edited version. So I will warn you, if you visit the show notes at cleancomedypodcast.com/77, the content it links to is cleanish.
But,
cleanish. Yeah, but it does have
clean asterisk.
Two bad words in it. So just know that.
But, and don't listen or watch the video if you don't want lost spoilers.
Right. So here's what we'll do.
And if you ever want to watch it, don't want lost spoilers.
We promise that we will keep the next segment to 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
So if you don't want to be spoiled or haven't seen Lost yet, then just skip forward exactly 5 minutes from now and we will be done. This clip comes from ABC and it was featured at the Comic-Con. This is a deleted scene from Lost.
Do you really think all this is an accident? That we, a group of strangers, survived? Many of us with just superficial injuries? You think we crashed on this place by coincidence? Especially this place? We were brought here for a purpose, for a reason, all of us. Each one of us was brought here for a reason. Brought here. And who brought us here, John?
The island.
Now we see Jacob and the man in black.
This is no ordinary. Doctor has no idea, does he? Why is he so afraid?
And where's that path end, John?
The path ends at the hatch. The hatch, Jack. All of it happened so that we could open the hatch.
No, no, we're opening the hatch so that we can survive.
They find that Scottish guy down there pushing a button. He is going to be...
Uh-oh!
If he wasn't pushing that button, we'd all be in a lot of trouble.
Oh, okay. Like, say, more trouble than getting turned into black smoke. Takes on the form of dead people.
Okay, you really need to get over that. I don't believe in destiny.
Yes, you do. You just don't know it yet.
Well, they call me a monster, Jacob. Me. I'm a monster. Get it? All because you threw me down into some underground river of shiny magic light.
That shiny magic light is very important. It happens to be the source of...
Oh, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Yahoo for you and your light. Okay, Jacob? And I swear to God, if you start with any of that whole the island is a cork thing, I will go nuts!
It's a good metaphor.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, we'll see how happy these people are when you explain their whole reason for being here with a metaphor.
You think they'll be disappointed?
They want answers, Jacob, not corks.
Well, maybe they'll give me the benefit of the doubt once they start jumping around in time.
Right, because time travel always helps things make more sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Really? Like picking six candidates to replace you because you're sick of being in charge, and you know that I'll inevitably disguise myself as candidate number four so I can manipulate Ben Linus into killing you? That kind of sense?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
I do not.
Do too.
Do not.
Do too.
Do not.
Do too.
Do not.
Do too.
Do not.
Do not. It's infinity.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
You know what? You've got a bad attitude, Barry.
Hey! Don't call me that!
Why not? It's your name, Barry.
Barry. Barry. Now we know his name. Not really. But that link, that video will be in the show notes. Actually, the link will be in the show notes at cleancomedypodcast.com/77. Now, looking at the clock, we still have a minute and a half before the people who don't want to be spoiled will come back and listen to us.
A minute and a half.
Yeah.
And yet one of them is in the studio with us.
Yeah, that's true. Well, this video was played at Comic-Con, and it was said that we finally get to learn so-and-so's name. And this was the video to introduce that. And it's a funny video. You got to go see it over at cleancomedypodcast.com/77. We'll have the link there in the show notes so that you can see it. And now maybe we should have 60 seconds of uninterrupted airtime for the people who have not yet seen Lost.
What?
Right. Okay. That's good enough.
You just go back and everywhere you said five, say dub in four. And do it really awkwardly so that it's like, come back in exactly 4 minutes.
We are a clean comedy podcast.
We are a comedy podcast.
We are a comedy podcast.
Yes. Oh, I'm
still. Oh, there I am. Unmuted.
You are deaf and mute.
Yeah. I was.
Or, yeah. But.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Daniel, don't ever play that again.
What was that?
That was Justin, who did our theme song. Okay, our 5 minutes is up, so if people didn't want to be spoiled, well, you can go back 1 minute. If you seriously jumped forward exactly 5 minutes, then you can go back about a minute and listen to stuff that wasn't too spoilery. But check out the show notes at cleancomedypodcast.com/77. Now it's time for Noodles in the News. You like that segment there?
I do. It's been a big news week for Noodles, Daniel.
Live from Cincinnati, it's Noodles in the News. Oh, it's fun. This comes to us from Reuters, which is hard enough for me to say.
Reuters.
Stop wearing bunny suit, police tell Idaho man.
Ew, this sounds...
Police in Idaho Falls have told a man to stop wearing a bunny suit in public after people complained he has been frightening children.
It never works.
I'm extremely loud.
It must be bunnies.
What?
Residents in the northwestern state of 54,000 people also reported. Wow. William Falkenhelm, 34.
Excuse you.
Occasionally wears a tutu with the bunny suit, police said in a statement on Tuesday. Police warned Falkenhelm after a woman said she saw him dressed in the costume, peeking at her young son from behind a tree and pointing his finger like a gun.
It's creepy.
But it doesn't say anything about the tutu, so I don't know why he was arrested. While a police report said other residents were greatly disturbed by his activities.
Me too.
Yeah, seriously. He's running around in a bunny suit and sometimes a tutu. One neighbor...
like you do.
Neighbor defended Falkenhelm as eccentric, but otherwise harmless. He's got the bunny outfit, a cowboy suit, and a ballerina dress.
Oh, I get the gun fingers now. He forgot which one he was wearing. He thought he was a cowboy. He was playing cowboys in India.
Oh, my.
It'd be terrible, though, if he thought he was in the ballerina dress, but he was really in the cowboy outfit.
And he did what precisely? I think that'd be terrible whichever he was wearing.
Yeah, true.
But does this man have a job?
Or a brain that works? Does he have a life?
I don't know. He's got the bunny outfit, a cowboy suit, and a ballerina dress, but you don't see him except when he's tripping through his backyard, Deborah Colson told Reuters.
You're using real names.
He's got a strange lifestyle at home, but we all do weird things at home. Yeah, not wearing bunny suits at public. This, we're talking about public behavior, people. Oh.
This is hurting my brain.
Falkenhelm told officers he enjoys wearing the suit, but understands the concerns and that he could be cited as a public nuisance. Yeah, the public doesn't like it when bunnies are hopping around all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I quit dressing up like a pink fluffy unicorn.
People are complaining about your dancing on rainbows.
Yeah, and I understood their concerns, and I just stopped. It's fine.
Oh, what I just said in obvious jest disturbs you, but this whole news article of real life does not. I just have to say one thing. The police asked him to stop wearing it. Anyone who has seen Elf knows that it is not safe to tell someone who isn't all there mentally to stop wearing what they're wearing. Maybe I'll leave it at that.
Maybe he wears these things in layers so that, like, he pops out of this full bunny costume and he's wearing a cowboy outfit.
Sir, you need to stop wearing that bunny costume. Okay, poof, he's a ballerina. No, you need to stop with the ballerina stuff too. Poof, he's a cowboy.
No, good you need enough. To stop with the cowboy stuff. Poof, no. He's a bunny. Yay, I'm a bunny again. Oh, wait.
No, I feel bad. Bad llama.
What would make a person do something like this?
I mean, why would he do such a thing?
Mentally unstable.
Very, very much so.
And now shared with our audience. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Everybody.
Sorry, that was really... Did I say I'm tired?
Yeah, a bit. But speaking of wearing costumes, this comes in from Huffington Post. And it's a Craigslist posting. Someone is looking for a room, and here is their request for, I'll just read this to you. It's with the headline, Unconventional Offer for Adventurous Homeowner, Vancouver. This offer is not for everyone. Those of you who have saved every penny for most of your life to afford a down payment and currently work around the clock to make mortgage payments, I commend you on your efforts. For this post is not for you. Do you have more than one property? Do you have so many rental homes with no mortgage payments yet you still feel unfulfilled? Tired of your illegal tenants whining that there are rats in the walls? Have you always wanted your own dinosaur?
Oh.
No. Do you have more than one property? Yes. Do you have more rental homes with no mortgage payments yet still feel unfulfilled? Yes. Tired of your illegal tenants whining that there are rats in the rooms? Yes. Have you always wanted your own dinosaur? What? Now is your chance, my friend. In exchange for one of your properties, I will be your personal dinosaur for 1 year.
Oh, geez.
I will be...
Oh my gosh.
I used to be a rabbit. Then I tried being a cowboy. Then I tried being a ballerina. Didn't work out so well. I'm hoping my new career change as a dinosaur will improve my life.
Friends told me to man up, and I said, what's more manly than a dinosaur?
That's awesome.
I'm only going to try this out for a year, though.
I will be at your beck and call 24 hours a day wearing a dinosaur costume. The type of dinosaur is negotiable. I can babysit your children.
Oh. Yeah, like crap you can.
Not a good idea.
Pardon my clean comedy podcast French.
And he offers... references available upon request.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. What was that?
There was a lady in the park that loved the service I was offering by pointing a gun pointing my finger as a bunny at her kids.
Okay, oh, what boy. Did you just say?
I can babysit your children, references upon request, scare the mailman.
No doubt.
Wash dishes, entertain and impress your guests, and much more.
Interesting.
He says no dirty stuff, though. I will make realistic dinosaur sounds, eat what the particular dinosaur eats, and maybe even sit on a fake dinosaur egg if you are so inclined. I am well educated.
No, you're not. Just shut up. Now you know what educated means.
This is not the self-employment that should happen.
In the chat room, JJ Lestrand is saying, let me guess, references are Fred and Barney.
Right. Great.
I am well educated, fluent in English and French, as well as dinosaur.
I would ask him to become an extinct dinosaur.
Then he'd just lay on the front lawn and rot for the whole year.
I don't think washing dishes is even realistic for a dinosaur.
Can play several musical instruments.
Okay.
And have no criminal record or outstanding warrants.
You will soon. If he gets the job anywhere.
Imagine the wanted posters. Wanted.
This dinosaur.
Armed and dangerous. Thinks he's a dinosaur. Washes dishes a lot.
Wanted for occasionally pointing at children while wearing a bunny costume. If you see this dinosaur, please call.
Oh, what a joke.
All this and more. This is the only way you will ever have your pet dinosaur and the only way I will ever be able to acquire a house in Vancouver.
Wow, no joke.
Serious offers only, please.
I should hope he never gets a job doing that.
Tell me this is made up.
This could be Barney's replacement.
Yeah.
Oh.
I hope that the person is making a statement about how hard it is to get a home in Vancouver.
Maybe it is Barney.
Is it Barney?
Maybe it is Barney.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
Barney is now a bum.
Yeah.
Hi, kids. Would you give me some money?
Oh, boy. I need a job.
What was it Barney was always eating?
I don't know. Peanut butter.
Peanut, was it really?
Yeah.
Peanut butter jelly time.
So you see Barney sitting at the street corners. I won't lie. I just want money for peanut butter. Jeez.
And he had to have milk with his peanut butter because... Why do I know this?
I was just wondering the same thing.
It's the Barney cast.
I'm shutting up now.
JJ Lestrand suggested that maybe this was at a party where everyone took turns writing lines.
Yes. Let's write a Craigslist ad for housing and employment.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you need your own personal dinosaur, check it out. We'll have a link in the show notes.
We will.
Yes. At cleancomedypodcast.com/77. And that comes to us from the Huffington Post.
Huffington?
Yes. The Huffington Post. If you find any news items that you would like to share, please, or different things, stories, whatever, funny stuff that you would like to share, please send them to us, feedback@noodle.mx, or call into 859-353-4332. I had to make sure, am I saying the right number?
After all the times you've said it. Yeah.
Well, here's another one that also comes from Huffington Post.
Man, they're just really full of it this week.
Yeah, they're really huffing and puffing and
huffing posting. And puffing?
Huffing and posting and nice. Blowing the house
down. I'm falling asleep and you can't talk. We're in great shape.
16 strange celebrity phobias.
Or phobias, if you want to mispronounce it.
I guess it's like saying these are celebrities to be afraid of.
Or are they phobias that celebrities have? Sometimes.
Katie Holmes.
Like being normal, for example.
Confessed one of her biggest fears on Jay Leno's couch this week while promoting her new film, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. She admitted that she's a serious raccoonophobe.
That doesn't sound like a very serious problem.
If you ever meet Katie Holmes, do not go up and make the raccoon face.
Unless you just don't want to talk to her.
She'll just run away screaming.
Or, Carrie, if you have a phobia of Katie Holmes, you may want to carry a raccoon with you at all times or get a coonskin cap so that you can be sure that she'll always run the other way if you happen to encounter her.
Lovely.
I recommend a coonskin cap, absolutely.
This is a good idea.
Davy Crockett was a horror show to her as a kid.
Yes, absolutely. That's amazing.
Okay, get this one. Johnny Depp is terrified of clowns.
Right. Somehow that just makes sense. Too many times looking in the mirror.
Oh, wow. Can that be a sound effect, please?
Wait a minute.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah. Please make a note. Oh, no, literally. I'm totally distracted now because I want that as a sound effect for the show permanently.
So what did he do when he played the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland? He looked very clown-like.
I don't know.
Maybe he just didn't look in the mirror.
He has a funny way of dealing with his phobia. He surrounds himself with clown paraphernalia with the hopes that it will ward off evil.
Interesting.
He must have really weird dreams.
So maybe he's afraid that he's evil, and since he's afraid of clowns, all evil must be afraid of clowns, and therefore he'll be protected by surrounding himself with clowns.
Maybe. All the scary movies and weird, strange movies he's made, and he's afraid of clowns.
Apparently.
I would have nightmares if I played some of his roles.
I'm a little afraid of clowns.
I'm a little afraid of Johnny Depp.
I'm a little afraid of Katie Holmes.
Jennifer Aniston is afraid of flying. That's not all that.
That's so common, Jennifer Aniston.
Nicole Kidman, of all things, is afraid
of Tom Cruise. Like the rest of us.
Except Katie Holmes. Then again, she's afraid of raccoons. And if I remember correctly, there's a video of Tom Cruise acting like a raccoon.
Hey, wait, is Nicole Kidman wearing a coonskin cap there?
Nicole Kidman is afraid of butterflies.
What?
She says this, sometimes when I would come home from school, the biggest butterfly or moth you'd ever seen would be just sitting on our front gate. I would climb over the fence, crawl around to the side of the house, anything to avoid having to go through the front gate.
This is silly.
I have tried to get over it. I walked into the big butterfly cage at the American Museum of Natural History and had butterflies on me, but that didn't work.
Butterflies don't even bite or sting.
Or do anything.
They just float around.
And get this, she says, I jump out of planes. I could be covered in cockroaches. I do all sorts of things, but I just don't like the feel of butterfly bodies.
I'm picturing Nicole Kidman covered in cockroaches plummeting through the air from an airplane.
There was a butterfly on the plane. No, darling. He was just talking about the butterfly effect. And what if there was a butterfly on the plane that flapped its wings? What would happen to the gravity? Oh.
Butterflies.
Oh, I'm not going to read about that harlot.
Wow. That's how you really feel.
Orlando Bloom is a swine-o-phobic.
He's afraid of pig.
He'll squeal like crazy if a piggy comes near him.
Is that what it says?
Like he did on the set of Kingdom of Heaven when one got loose on the set.
Oh my.
Hmm.
Maybe he's afraid of warthogs?
He must have had like a really ugly, mean grandmother as a kid who went, this little piggy went to the market.
Oh my.
Maybe they just remind him of orcs.
That should be saved as a sound.
Oh wow, that's a dumb phobia.
Well, this little piggy.
on the way home.
That was disturbing on many levels.
That was excessively scary.
And I think I just made some of our listeners afraid of pigs.
We're losing listeners live in the chat.
If you've ever seen Old Yeller, you might have a good reason for being afraid of pigs.
I killed Old Yeller.
That's true.
I hate you.
Just like people who watch Bambi irrationally hate hunters.
I gotta read this sentence.
I'm afraid of Bambi.
Madonna has a morbid fear of thunder, the only force of nature mightier than her. The condition is known as brontophobia. I thought that was fear of brontosauruses.
Or Emily Bronte.
Madonna. So if you want to get rid of her, all you have to do is go...
Carry a cookie sheet around with you and wobble it.
Wow, that's really weird.
If you go over to Christina Ricci's place, you won't find...
Richie.
All this time I thought it was Ricky.
Richie.
Christina Ricci Ricardo. If you go to Christina... she is afraid of plants. She told the British Inquirer that she is terrified of houseplants because they are dirty.
Interesting.
Dirty.
Well, and they want to kill you.
Doesn't she understand that trees make oxygen?
Apparently. Maybe she's afraid of oxygen.
If we didn't have plants, we would die.
Yeah, lady.
Yeah, but The Happening is probably a terrifying movie to her. Yeah.
I've not seen it.
It's people. It's plants.
Your mom's people.
David Beckham, a race car driver, I guess, because it looks like he's in some kind of racing.
Really?
So I don't know who he
is.
That's
hilarious.
Yes, David Beckham, the race car driver. Go on.
Daniel, you should check with me before you talk.
Fears messes of any kind. His surrounding objects must be coordinated by color, form, and size, and quantity.
So he probably doesn't eat M&Ms or Skittles.
Only even numbers.
Especially Skittles and M&Ms mixed.
Yeah.
Or like the peanut
That's
M&Ms.
Super messy.
And the regular ones, because then their sizes are all different. You get like a Christmas bag and a regular bag, and then you just got like this imbalance of red and green going on.
Just the peanut M&Ms are not all the same sizes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's really true. What a nightmare he must be.
Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, this will be interesting.
Yes.
She's
afraid of money.
Let me just read this. Don't let Oprah Winfrey see your chewing gum, as she is a serious chiclophobe. I guess that's fear of gum.
Well, I don't have anything to worry about.
She revealed that her grandmother used to save her ABC gum in the cabinets and stick it on the furniture.
I don't have to worry about seeing Oprah Winfrey anytime soon, then. Wow. I chew lots of gum. And Daniel, Jeremy, your gum's right there.
I know. That's amazing. I never do that. But I put my gum on the plate with my muffin.
It's blue.
And it's right there. I'm warding off Oprah.
These are all literal things we're talking about.
Yeah. What?
Yes, there is a plate with gum and muffin on it.
Keanu Reeves is afraid of Keanu.
Keanu.
I think he's a tennis player, right?
No, he's also a race car driver.
but wait, let's hear the great deep meaning that he shares with us. You know, sad canoe, Keanu.
Sad canoeing Reeves. Canoeing Keanu Reeves.
But he means that in a real philosophical way.
Wait, what is he afraid of?
The dark.
The dark.
Yeah. The Matrix must have been a rough movie for
him. But he's not afraid of the dark so much as he's afraid of what the dark represents. What it means, really.
We should ask Keanu Reeves. Let's have him on the show sometime.
We should.
Hilary Duff is afraid of dirt.
What? It's everywhere.
And this article says it. Maybe she and David Beckham should talk.
That doesn't look like Hillary Duff.
I guess it is. That's Kelly Osbourne.
Who is that?
Is a...
Now I'm in the dark.
A halflophobic. She has a fear of being touched.
And a fear of being a halfling.
So don't go up and slap her on the back or shake her hand or anything like that.
Why would you be afraid of being touched?
Mr. Shirtless, Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, gosh.
I added that part.
Is afraid of shirts.
Will enter in... Yes. That makes perfect sense.
That's why.
I can't breathe. Matthew McConaughey will enter any building as long as there is not a revolving door, which he is terrified of.
I love revolving doors.
Will he go in through the back if there's a revolving door on the front, or is it just the concept?
He must have had an awful childhood experience.
Yeah, it ripped off his shirt. He got stuck in one and it ripped off his shirt.
I could see how that could be traumatic.
So now whenever he gets afraid of a revolving door, he just rips off his shirt and says, I'm not afraid of it. I am.
Wow.
Huddled, mumbly, rocking.
So whenever you see Matthew McConaughey without his shirt on, there's probably a revolving door nearby.
Jeez.
And ugly lady.
Wow.
Should I read that one?
I don't know. I can't tell what you're looking at.
Nah. I don't want
to. All right. If you are willing to have a filter, use it because it isn't common.
Jennifer Love Hewitt is a woman with many fears. Near the top of her list.
Ghosts.
Is elevators.
Oh.
She'll take the stairs.
Okay.
That's a healthy alternative.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The only other alternative would be falling.
I'm so afraid of elevators. They just go up and down and up.
Maybe she's
and down
afraid
and
of
up and down.
I would almost rather have an elevator fall than get stuck in one with a bunch of people.
With Jenna, with Katie Holmes.
What if I was in an elevator with Katie Holmes and Keanu Reeves and I was wearing a coonskin cap and it got stuck and the lights went out? What would happen exactly?
And you were a bit dirty and you decided to pull off your shoes.
And you touched everyone.
You pull off your shoes and socks and your feet are dirty and you start playing, "This little piggy went to the market."
Oh gosh, I'm not doing that. I think I'd probably take that whole statement back if I ever were in an elevator that fell, FYI. I'd rather get stuck, but...
That makes me nervous. Whenever I step on an elevator, I think, oh gosh, is this thing going to fall down?
What if I'm in here for a couple days and...
Especially get nervous if all of these celebrities are on there except Jennifer Love Hewitt. Run. Sounds like the start of a good joke, though.
If you don't see Jennifer Love Hewitt, run.
Run. Don't walk. Run from slutty date.
Okay, that's way out of context.
Way out. Way. But if you want to be way out of context and send us your funny stuff that you see on the internet or funny stories that you want to share with us, send it to feedback@noodle.mx or call in to 859-353-4332. You can email an audio clip or you can leave a voice message on the voicemail line. Just keep your message to shorter than 3 minutes and we may edit it for brevity and humor and clarity and or to make you sound more stupid. And then we can have more fun. Also, get the links for these stories that we've shared at cleancomedypodcast.com/77. Now, next week, in episode 78, we're having Robert from It's Just Us Cast and the super secret podcast for young husbands.
Yay.
So Robert will be joining us next week, live Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time at noodle.mx. So please join us back for that. And we might do the little story thing again and have a lot of fun with that.
Do the little story thing.
Jeremy, where can people follow you on internet.
On the interwebs at twitter.com/Phlegon, Phlegon.
And Jenny, where can people follow you?
How about you tell them, because my mind is going blank.
twitter.com/JennySnook. Or nice. Jenny Snook. JennySnook. And you can...
Why?
And you can follow me on twitter.com/TheRamenNoodle. Be sure that you check out the show notes at cleancomedypodcast.com/77. And if you're not subscribed to the show, please subscribe to the show over at cleancomedypodcast.com. Click all the buttons and tell someone else about the show. If you refer someone else to the podcast, we'll give you 10% off your subscription. So please tell everyone else you know about the podcast and let's get this thing going. And speaking of 10% commissions and or money and stuff, if you need website design or podcast cover art or anything like that, please contact me through this email address, daniel@djosephdesign.com, or check out one of my websites, podcastcoverart.com. So next time, life makes you feel like an amateur. Keep laughing because you're not the only one. Thanks for listening.
Nobody can blame ya. There's only one life worth living. They may try and shame ya, 'cause it cracks them up to see an amateur like you. But you gotta be your own kind of noodle. Add your own seasoning. Be your own kind of noodle, even if nobody else laughs along.
Hello?
Salute.
Salute. Sit down, you high duke. Chiter, oh, you be the man who mashed the feta cheese. Allo? Allo? Sit down, Picasso. Sound that beep. Sheep is unique. That there steak, no share, misspeak. Raise the pleasure. No my A. Keep down. Roger sledding, yay! Now I'm impressed. Oh, keep hay. Graze the flesh there. No my A. Keep down. Run from slutty date. There it is. Now I'm impressed. Oh, keep hay. Get that video at cleancomedypodcast.com/77. Oh, by the way, the Clean Comedy... Just go to noodle.mx and check out our other podcasts.
Our noodlecast.
.mx.
Thing.
Bye.